The program director of a local radio station in Vancouver called me into his office for a meeting. At the age of 22, I was a runner-up in a contest to be the sticker spotter to surprise and delight listeners around town who sported a station sticker on their bumper. Even though I didn't win, the station gave me a chance to work in promotions. On the one hand, I was thrilled to join the team because I wanted to get my foot in the media door and ultimately learn how to become an on-air presenter. Mom and Dad, on the other hand, who have always been supportive, were questioning my sanity. Defecting from a safe career path in the financial world? Yikes. This director was an intimidating figure. He was the big boss, and everybody scrambled to look busy when he walked into the room. In every interaction, he would briefly acknowledge me with a head nod, and then just look at me and listen as if he could read my mind. I'm pretty sure he could tell I was terrified. I was so far out of my element, I wasn't even on the same periodic table. When he called me into his office for an impromptu meeting, I honestly thought I was being let go. That's a common reality in the volatile media business. Instead, he started talking about life and connection. "Riaz," he said, "if you want to get ahead in this business, the key is understanding the difference between talking to people and talking at them." He championed the notion of staying in the moment in conversations. "Make it about them," he said. "And always remember, look at you needs to be greater than look at me." He told me that the efforts we make to learn about people and actively listen to their struggles by feeling their words, not fixing them, are what create relationships that fuel success. He didn't let me go that day. It turned out he saw some potential in me and he'd pull me aside just to give me that advice. He said he believed in me, and I was relieved and grateful that he'd taken the time just to talk to me. That conversation taught me the value of giving more than you take. A year later, I applied for an on-air gig at the station's morning radio show. I was a finalist, but I didn't get the gig. And soon after that, I gave my notice because I felt like I'd done what I could do at the station. When I told that director, his response was, "Good, go be on TV. That's where you need to be." He didn't want to get in the way of what he believed I could do. He didn't just talk the talk about listening and making every conversation about the other person. He practiced that, and he proved it in that moment. Instead of focusing on what my departure meant for him and the station, he stayed in the moment with me and focused on my journey. Of course, I didn't know it at the time, but not getting that radio job was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me in my career. And the perspective that director shared with me in our first impromptu meeting ultimately helped me build a career as a broadcaster and interviewer. That one conversation planted a seed for every conversation I would ever have to mean more. Talk to them, not at them, is a gift I've always carried forward. And those words only became more valuable in a time when people began searching for a heightened sense of human connection. A year that changed everything except who we are. As I share these words, it's the beginning of 2021. It's been a disruptive year that will go down in history for a pandemic that made us rethink everything. Words like quarantine, new normal, and social distancing became part of our everyday vernacular. Systems that were broken were exposed. Unemployment soared. Remote work was a new reality. People protested for racial justice. And unlearning became a top priority. All of this happened while we figured out how to exist in self-isolation, deprived of our regular rituals of social contact. And we were reminded that human connection isn't an option, it's a necessity. According to Sebastian Younger in his book Tribe on Homecoming and Belonging, he states, "The beauty and the tragedy of the modern world is that it eliminates many situations that require people to demonstrate commitment to the collective good. We don't have to work together to raise a barn or bring in the harvest. The design of modern life emphasizes individual convenience, not solidarity. That's why a disaster can often bring us together and create a renewed sense of community."